Good morning. There's a smaller crowd here this morning, but I think a vivacious one. So we'll just go with it, and there's more people coming in. Vic Sizemore will be sharing with us this morning. He's here for Writer's Read. He'll be speaking about the interesting dilemma that Christians face in writing moral fiction.
Welcome to chapel again. I'm Mike Medley, chair of the Language and Literature Department. I wonder how many of you know about our department's Writer's Read series. I don't recognize a lot of people that I see who attend Writer's Read, but at least four times a year, we invite to campus accomplished writers who share their work with us, whether that's poetry or short fiction, novels, nonfiction prose. And we welcome everyone to attend. This is not a program just for English or writing majors. Vic Sizemore comes to us from Lynchburg, Virginia, where he teaches writing and literature at Central Virginia Community College. He's a novelist and short fiction writer. If you're interested, he has an excerpt from his novel that he just posted up to his blog that I just read this morning. He posted up there last week. A very, very interesting story that I think some of you might be interested in reading as well. He earned his MFA in creative writing from Seattle Pacific University, and his short stories have been published in many different literary journals. The one I just referred to was in actually the journal published by the Yale Divinity School. He's speaking in chapel this morning, as Lana said, on writing moral fiction, so I'm interested to hear his definition of what is moral fiction. Does he try to do it? How does he do it? And what's it have to, is there any particular challenges for Christian writers who are trying to write moral fiction? So join me in welcoming Vic Sizemore to chapel this morning.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. I'm going to speak on writing moral fiction, but I'm also probably going to speak more generally on moral art making as well. They are sort of the same thing. In the New York Review of Books, novelist Michael Chabon, in discussing the movies of Wes Anderson, went into a rather lengthy discussion of what kind of world we live in and how artists, as a result of that, how artists work and why they do what they do. And he made a couple of observations. Well, first of all, he said what the stories of Wes Anderson are a schooling in brokenness. He said, the world is broken, the world is shattered all over the place. And watching a Wes Anderson movie or watching Wes Anderson tell a story is schooling in that brokenness. Now, what that says about how an artist works, according to Chabon, is what the artist does is collects these broken pieces like a big overturned jigsaw puzzle and tries to piece them back together. Now, when I read that, I thought not of Wes Anderson movies, though I do like Wes Anderson movies. I thought of a movie that I watched a long time ago when I was in college, a Pink Floyd movie, The Wall. And it's a dark and despondent movie, but there is a scene, a very beautiful scene in this movie where, well, the movie is about, it's the parallel stories of the world falling apart and going crazy during World War II, in which the writer, Roger Waters, who wrote the album and the movie, his father was killed in World War II when he was young. And it is a parallel story of that, along with the story of a rock and roll star whose life is falling apart as he descends into drugs and hero worship and, you know, the groupies and all of this. And the scene that Chabon's talking about the artist trying to piece together the broken world. The scene it made me think of is there is the morning after he has played a show and he's brought a groupie back to his room, but things didn't go as planned. He went crazy and smashed the room up with his guitar and just smashed everything to pieces. And of course she ran out. And in the morning he gets up and he just starts. He's had a breakdown. He's totally lost it. But he spends like hours and hours trying to get everything and piece it back together. He doesn't piece it back together as it should be, though. He pieces it back together in this elaborate work of art on the floor. And that's what I thought about when I thought about Chabon saying the broken pieces are the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. Now Chabon makes a couple of observations after this, and what he talks about is, first of all, that the artist has to make choices in what pieces to gather together and how to put them back together. That almost seems obvious. But then he says, here's where Chabon goes with this. The only authentic way to do it is to neither ignore or try to conceal the bleak facts or the way you have put those things together to create your story. Now, to say that you don't ignore the bleak facts when you are writing, that makes sense. To try to ignore the bleak facts, Milan Kundera, the novelist Milan Kundera, in his novel The Unbearable Lightness of Being, said the definition of kitsch is putting up a blinder so that your reader can't see death, trying to hide death from the reader. So Chabon is saying, don't ignore the bleak facts of human existence as a writer. Okay. But then he goes on to say what the artist also cannot do is try to hide the tricks that he uses to make the presto changeo. So he is praising Wes Anderson, because those of you who have seen Wes Anderson movies know Wes Anderson is always showing you, hey, look, this is a movie. Don't forget, this is a movie. And Chabon is praising that. And he even goes as far as to say that artifice openly expressed is the only truly authentic way to write. And to want or to desire or to write for something deeper than that, Chabon says in this New York Review of Books article, is simple-minded and profoundly mistaken. Well, that's where I have to stop. I was with Chabon up to that point. And the problem is, first of all, the problem is his metaphor is faulty. And I will explain that in a minute. But the philosopher, romantic philosopher Walter Pater said that all art aspires to the condition of music. And what he means by that is all art aspires to the condition in which whoever is receiving the art loses him or herself in the experience. And that is a truly aesthetic experience. And the aesthetic experience is one where the entire person is involved and is no longer self-conscious, but is totally involved in the work. And what Chabon is calling for is a constant reminder, hey, this is a work of art. Don't forget yourself sitting there watching this work of art, or reading this work of art, or listening to this work of art. What Chabon is calling for is basically an anesthetic experience, a constant calling back to yourself instead of a drawing you into the work of art. And the problem is with the metaphor. His metaphor is the jigsaw puzzle, or the shattered pieces of the world that the artist collects and puts back together. But the problem is that these shattered pieces are inanimate things. They are not living things. And so if that is truly the case, that what the artist is working with is just inanimate things, then it makes sense to call attention to how cleverly the artist puts them together. However, I think a better metaphor, and metaphors are powerful things, you have to choose them carefully. A better metaphor is the one that you can find in John Milton's Areopagitica, in which he talks about the sad friends of truth who, like Isis, go throughout the world looking for the mangled body of Osiris to bring them back together and put them back together. Now, the difference between this and Chabon's metaphor is that in gathering the body of Osiris, or gathering the mangled body of truth and putting it back together, you are not putting inanimate things together. You are putting a living thing, a broken, yes, but living thing together. And that makes all the difference. So how do you, as an artist, how as a writer, do you manage to do this? I mean, because you still really are choosing what you use and choosing how you put it together. And Mike and I were talking yesterday morning about some of the other readings, and I know you guys have been working with writers and with works that are dealing with the effects of the internet on how we read and how we experience the world. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that, but I am going to say that as a writer who is concerned with the mangled body of truth, you really do have to, and this starts with John Gardner, who wrote a book called On Moral Fiction, says that what you have to do before we can get to the great idea, true, you have to stop and stare at a tree. And what does he mean by that? Well, he goes back to the old English word trial, from which we get both the word tree and the word true. And the word true in this old English sense means deeply rooted. It is an idea that is deeply rooted. And the way you get to that is not by gathering all the small shards and trying to put them together, but by sitting quietly and staring at a tree, trying to understand the literal thing. And he even goes as far as to say that the only kind of fiction that is truly moral fiction is fiction that does this, that goes to the deep idea, to the true idea, to the roots of the tree. And the only way to do that is by spending time staring at it, which means you focus, which means you don't spend your time surfing the internet. Or not all of it, anyway. It takes time. It takes concentration. It takes quiet. And he even says, the failure to pay close attention to the literal amounts to a moral shortcoming, because the writer is not deeply involved with the characters. The writer is not concerned with the truth as much as the writer is concerned with being acknowledged for writing cleverly and doing cool tricks. And that, John Gardner tells us, is not moral writing. I will let you decide whether or not it is. And as a qualification, you know, he's not suggesting that this kind of writing, or a Wes Anderson movie for that matter, is immoral in that it should not be done. These kinds of things are fun. They're okay. But in the end, when it gets to the point of going deep, they pull up and they stop and they say, wait, don't forget, this is just a movie, or this is just a story. You need to remember that you are a reader here and you're reading a story. And that is that they're hedging their bets. And it is because they believe there is nothing else. If there really is nothing beyond this, if the aesthetic experience really doesn't take you to a place that is truly magical or truly spiritual, or at least have the potential to do that, then that's all you have. But I am saying, with John Gardner and with Walter Pater, the aesthetic experience is a deeper thing. The goal of art, the goal of writing, is to show, is not to show how cleverly the artist can put together the parts of a hopelessly broken world. The goal is not even just a vision of wholeness again. It is actually movement towards wholeness in the story itself. So with that in mind, I will say to those of you who are writers or art makers of any kind and everyone else, go forth and look at the tree, stare at the tree, go for the deep idea. And that is truly the way you can write moral fiction or make moral art. And thank you. I want to thank Mike for having me come and read. And Lana, thank you. And the Yoders also, I'd like to thank for hosting me. They are gracious hosts. So thank you.